Here with For Thomas Matters Radio. We are broadcasting live in Living Media Studios right now, and I am with Taryn Taher. Taryn is a senior at Northern Kentucky University. She has made news over the last couple of days, publishing an editorial on the Odyssey, which is an online sort of a democratic form of journalism today. Taryn, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. So you've been making the media rounds today. You've done some interviews with some other local news affiliates. Those will probably be on the news airways tonight. Let's start with your editorial. The name of it. Well, I want you to tell me a little bit about why you wrote it first, and then we'll get into the nuts and bolts.
So I basically waited until I was completely done with basketball to write this article, because I feel like it wouldn't be appropriate for me to write this and publish it in the middle of a season to go against my coach like that while I'm still on the team. So I wanted to wait till after. And then it's just over the past 3 years, I've been writing down things that's been happening. And then it's not just me writing down things. Me and my teammates have been doing it for years now. And I decided I'm going to put it all together and write this paper on what's actually been going on at Northern Kentucky. And I decided to contact girls that aren't on the team anymore and kind of get together with girls who are on the team, but they're trying to transfer out and they're trying to find other schools to go to, so they don't want their names out there. But I'm kind of speaking on their behalf, too.
So let's reset for a minute. You're the lone senior on the team.
Yeah.
You redshirted your freshman mm-hmm. year. So you played in three different seasons as an NKU basketball player. And what we're talking about here is some accusations that you've made against Coach Cameron Whitaker, who's the women's head basketball coach, of bullying, emotionally abusing players. And so essentially, you have been chronicling that over the last, since you've been at NKU. You guys finished your season 19 days ago, and that was why you kind of wanted to wait. You just felt like that would have been, the best thing to do. Is that pretty accurate?
Yes.
Okay. So let's go over some of the things that you wrote. You talk, and by the way, some of the accusations that you have said have been corroborated by other teammates in the last couple of days. So Sheree Davis she was mentioned in your article.
Yep.
She put out a Facebook Live video that she promoted on her page that basically said everything that you said was true. Reese Munger, her mom, has essentially said everything that you have said is true. Coach Whitaker has since deleted her Twitter account. And NKU has not really said anything except for this. And I do want to read this because we gave them the opportunity as well. Obviously, we want to try to tell two sides of the story. There are presumably two sides, yours and Coach Whitaker's. But I want to read their statement. We did give them an opportunity, and they've not responded. But here's the statement that they gave us, as well as other media outlets. The university is aware of complaints surrounding the women's basketball program. We recognize the courage it takes to share personal stories. NKU said it took, thoroughly reviewed separately by the Title IX and athletics offices and addressed in accordance with the university policy. The university said that there are ongoing efforts to improve communication and relationships between the program's leadership and student athletes. They went on to say, "We are committed to fostering a safe, healthy, and inclusive environment, learning environment for anyone who is part of our campus community. Our students' voices will be heard, and the athletics office will continue to monitor and assess programs, taking appropriate corrective actions if needed." So you hear that, what do you think?
I think that it's gonna get swept under the rug again like it has been the past 3 years. Because I've heard those words over and over from the same people, and I still see no result.
So you write, one of the things that you write is that there's a deep, dark, hidden secret that lies within the women's basketball program at Northern Kentucky University, which, as you mentioned, has been swept under the rug by the athletic department for 3 years. What did they say to you when you went to them directly?
That they would investigate it thoroughly and they would follow up with me. And I'd be told that that would be soon. But then when I went back to talk to them, because I thought of other things I wanted to talk to them about, they said that it was before Christmas break, and they would say that it was going to be a little later because Christmas break was coming up, and so they would have to contact me after. But then I wouldn't hear anything until February when Christmas break ended in January, so I was a little worried, and it was the end of February, so I contacted them back, and I was like, I still have no follow-up. They could not discuss the case with me anymore, and it was confidential. And so I was thinking to myself, confidential, but it's my case, it's my information. Why can't we talk about it anymore? Like, what's going on? Is it even being investigated? And so I was worrying inside that nothing was happening.
So let me ask you, have you had, since this article has come out, have you had any contact with anybody in the athletic department?
No.
Have you had any contact with Coach Whitaker?
No. I mean, our last game, which was the first game of the tournament, the Horizon League, we played IUPUI and we lost. And as we were getting off the bus to go home, and once we got back to Northern Kentucky, she didn't say one word to me in the locker room or on the bus. And as I walked past her on the bus, she wouldn't even look at me.
Why do you think?
I don't know. I really don't know. And my teammates don't know.
So let me go back for a quick second. And in your article, you started off and you're an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
You were a two sports star. You played basketball and soccer. You're from Freeland, Michigan. You said you understand the difference between tough love, coaching, and what you characterize as abusive, bullying behavior. Talk about where it started to move from coaching, tough love coaching, to where you felt like it was a problem.
So I love the aggressive coaching. Like, you can get in my face all you want. You can yell at me. You can tell me what you want me to do, anything. Because I'm used to that. I've had many coaches ever since I was 3 years old, including my dad. And my dad was and probably still is a very tough coach. He played college basketball. He knows the game. And he would get in my face, and I love it. I'd be like, okay, I will do that. That is motivating to me. And the thing is, Coach Witt never, I mean, she did yell at us, but it was degrading stuff. It was stuff that attacked your heart. It was personal. It was about your character. It made you question yourself. And never would any other coach have me questioning my own character or tell me something so negative about myself that had me questioning my own life, such as pulling me aside in practice and telling me that I sucked the life out of her. That made me feel like she didn't want me there, and it made me think that if I sucked the life out of her, and she told me to suck the life out of the team, I was like, she doesn't want me here. Then who wants me here then? If the team is sucked the life out of from me, I mean, do I have a purpose here then? And it made me question that, and I knew something was wrong.
So when did that happen? Was that your freshman, sophomore?
Junior year.
That was your junior year.
Yeah.
So that was last year.
Yes.
Okay.
Like last season.
Yes. Last season. So I want to recap, like, how you started at NKU. You were there for a year. You redshirted. Your first season that you were playing, you started, like, what, like 19, 20 games, something mm-hmm. like that. So you're the year after that, your junior year, you played less. You started less. And then this year you didn't play as much at all. So one of the questions that, like, people are probably wondering, if they're not following NKU, like, oh, well, Taryn may be just mad that she's not playing enough, or she is playing, maybe she got recruited over. What would you say to that kind of thing?
That's a good question. There's definitely a pattern. And the thing is, when I would ask my teammates how they felt about me not playing, is they would be angry. And they would say, Taryn, honestly, I don't know why you're not playing. And that would make me think, yeah, why am I not playing? But because I work hard in practice every day, and I would do the things that the other girls are doing. And it made me question, I don't know why. And it made me think that she started questioning me about me going to Title IX and start sticking up to myself and going into her office and sitting there and wanting to talk to her And I think she didn't like that. And so she started to put me down farther and farther at the end of the bench as I started sticking up for myself.
So what are some other things that really kind of affected you? So you talk about, you know, some of the specific things that she said that you felt cut you down a little bit. You talked about some of the instances with your other teammates, having people not associate with them, ostracizing them a little bit. What really sticks out as, you know, that is not coaching behavior, that's bullying behavior?
Definitely when, so Sheree Davis has Crohn's disease, which makes her have to use the bathroom suddenly, and she has stomach issues as well. So she would have to run out of practice to use the bathroom, like urgent. And so Coach Witt got fed up with that, and Sheree had to run out of practice to use the bathroom. And Coach Witt took that opportunity to yell at us to get on the line and to start running sprints back and forth until she was done. And she walked over to the hallway where the bathroom was to make Sheree know that we were running because she was in the bathroom. And she'd say, "Everyone on the line, we're going to run sprints until Sheree's back out here." And so I knew, I was like, it's not her fault that she's in the bathroom right now. It is a disease. It's not something to make fun of or just to take someone advantage or I don't just.
Describe, Taryn, how you felt. You know, I think everybody can kind of remember what it feels like when you're in a bad job or you're going to a class that you really don't like, that you're dreading it. Describe how you felt going to practice every day.
I dreaded it. I often felt I was turning into someone I didn't want to turn into. I would sit in my locker and just sit on my phone. I wouldn't socialize with anybody because no one wanted to socialize back because they were also dreading practice. Because we would walk into the arena and the way Coach Witt looked at you defined how practice was going to be. If her hat was down below her eyebrows, practice was not going to be good, and we were about to get ripped in film. And so if you saw her like that, your heart would just drop, and it's like, we're going to run sprints, we're going to get screamed at, we're going to be called spoiled brats again, we're going to be told that she gives us everything, and we don't deserve anything, and it was just awful, and I feel like it shouldn't be like that. You should love to go to practice and do everything you love on the court and love the game, but she took the love of the game away from me and others on the team, and it was obvious.
Has it been a progressive thing? I mean, you've been there for 4 years now. Mm-hmm. Was it bad right away?
No, but I think that it was progressive, and it took a little bit, because the first practice, I mean, it was like, bam, she threw us into some drills, and first thing I saw was she didn't like the way we did the drills. She first introduced us because it was her first practice with us. And we didn't get it right. And she just sat there and was rolling her eyes at us and laughing at us to the assistant coaches. And that made me think, I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. But I didn't think anything of it until like a couple years later where I'm like, wow, it makes sense now. I should have recognized those signs. They're just little signs, but they were signs.
So I want to talk about some of the life preservers that you threw up over the course of your time there. You went and talked to the Title IX offices. I believe you talked with folks in the athletic department too, is that right?
I would sometimes go into our strength trainer's office, and I broke down one time because I look up to, his name is Brian Booz, he's our strength trainer, and I look up to him a lot, and I just sat down with him and I'd talk to him, and he would basically say, he'd say, you know, you got to stay positive, have thick skin, you're here for a reason, believe in your faith and stuff like that. And that would help me a little bit. But then like I would go to professors and they'd tell me the same thing too. And then I would be like, you know, there's only so many times you can be told that to have thick skin and to be positive. And then we, all of us girls would sometimes go to our academic advisor's office. His name's Zach Barge. And we would go in there and cry, or he'd see us in the hallway just like with our heads down, and he'd always ask what's wrong, and we'd tell him, and he'd be like, gotta stay positive, you know, fight through it. He goes, I mean, I gotta stay out of it, I can't do anything.
So tell me about your specific, when you go wanting to meet with Coach Whitaker, how would you you know, call the meeting to order? What would happen in that office?
So either she would text me or I would ask her for a meeting, and she would set up a time, and I'd always go in there early because I'd be too nervous and I'd be sweating and sometimes shaking, and I would go in there and I'd sit on the crying couch and get myself ready to be attacked.
So you talk about the crying couch. I'm gonna read something from your editorial again. These verbal attacks were mostly behind closed doors in her office on what she liked to call the crying couch, where it was your word against hers, where she could get you alone and tear you apart. These meetings were mostly done weekly and before games, so when you messed up from your beat-up session that you couldn't possibly play well by game time. Personal attacks on your family, personality, work ethic, body physique were also not uncommon. These verbal attacks were mostly behind closed doors, as you said. And you sort of acknowledge that, you know, some of this stuff is going to be hard to prove because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like because of the nature of, you know, behind these closed door sessions that nothing will ultimately happen?
Yeah, basically. And then again, I've got this terrible feeling that my teammates are going to lie who are currently on the team, because they're still on the team and they're not graduating, they're not transferring. And I feel like they're going to stick up for her because she's their head coach. And so I'm just worried they're going to lie.
Well, you have some former players that have corroborated your story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your reason for not coming out, as you said, is you didn't want to do it during the season.
Mm-hmm.
But it is affecting you right now. You do have 1 year of eligibility left. You can transfer by grad transfer to another program. But you said that might be off the table now. So talk about that a little bit.
I have a bad feeling it's off the table, given that I've come out with this. And I don't want other college coaches to think that I'm going against Coach Whitaker because I didn't like her yelling at me or I didn't like the way she was coaching. It's not just that she was yelling. It's not the yelling. Like I said, it doesn't bother me. It's the degrading and just questioning my character. And I wish I could play my fifth year. I would do anything. But I'm also struggling with finding programs that also have my graduate degree, because I want to get my master's and my PhD. And in order to do that, they'd have to have my program. And so I'm fighting the basketball battle and finding my program battle.
So it seems like you had a good relationship with a lot of your teammates. Did you have, what was your relationship like with most of your teammates? Did you have it? Was there any animosity in the locker room at all?
Yes, definitely a family. We did everything together. And, but the one problem I noticed was towards the end of this year, there were different cliques. That's because Coach Witt separated us and told others not to hang out or to sit by or to communicate with certain people on the team because they weren't in a good place or they're a negative person. So don't hang out with them. Go hang out with so-and-so because they're positive, which would probably be one of her favorites 100% of the time. So just things like that. And I noticed that we all weren't hanging together as one big group towards the end. And I was like, that's not how it should be. We used to be one big family. Now we're four separate families. So
have you had any communication with any of the players that are currently on the team that are planning on being on the team next year?
No, not after I posted my article.
So tell me how that came about. You decided to post the article on the Odyssey,
mm-hmm.
Which allows users to kind of publish and push their own content. How long did you think about this? You said you've been writing things down for 3 years.
Yeah.
Tell me how you came to the decision to select the Odyssey to kind of release what happened.
So I read articles off the Odyssey all the time because this online portal, it'll have really cool articles. Like one article I read when I was in high school, it was like to the college freshman from the college senior. And it would just like give things about what you need to know about college, just simple things like that. And so they're just typical people with like not a journal degree or anything, just writing what they want and putting their feelings out on online paper. So I've been thinking, like brainstorming, I'm like, wow, that would be a cool place to put my article because, I mean, I don't have to go through any ropes to, put it out there, and I feel like it would, I'd be free to type whatever I wanted. So
when did you push publish?
Sunday night, laying in bed, I was shaking and sweating, and as soon as I hit that button, it was like this relief went over me, and I was like, wow, I waited 3 years for this. And I called my mom. I'm like, Mom, it's done. So let's go. Let's roll with the punches and see where it gets us.
So we're recording this now on Tuesday, March 26th. So it's now been live for not quite 2 days.
Yeah.
Your expectations when you press publish versus where we are today, are they in line? Are they far apart?
I definitely did not expect this kind of outcome, like the media and the different people wanting to talk to me about it. It has totally blown my mind, honestly, and that is still an understatement, because the years have gone by with it being swept under the rug, and then now it's like people are like, wow, this has been going on for 3 years, this needs to be published everywhere and stuff like that. And then I'm also getting other athletes from all over the country, men and girls. And it's just crazy because they're like, we have experienced the same thing, except yours has been worse, obviously, but we support you and we think that you're awesome for doing this. And it makes me feel good about myself because I'm like, I'm glad I'm doing a good thing because something needs to change. And it just breaks my heart to think that this is going on all over the country. And obviously nothing's going about it. And I've also had really good college women's players like contact me to tell me, like even in the Horizon League, contact me. And that's when I knew, I'm like, this is serious. This is big, I guess. So
did you talk about, I mean, obviously you've been journaling this for a long time. Did you talk about writing this editorial, putting it out into the atmosphere with, you know, sort of the pros, and I'm sure you've had some cons that have come with it as well.
Yeah.
Who did you talk about that through?
So I wrote it, and then I sent it to Casey Utrecht to like be my editor, and so she corrected everything.
Tell me who Casey is again.
She left our team my redshirt freshman year, so my sophomore year. And she left the team towards the end of the season, and because she couldn't take the treatment anymore.
So you sent it off to Casey.
Yep, she's my editor, and she just went through the grammar and would just make sure it was structured, and she added some of her things she wanted to put in, just a couple things that I didn't know about. And so she sent it back to me, and she goes, all right, let's go. I'm like, okay. So
what about your folks? What's their response been?
Very supportive. They obviously want to do it way earlier, but they also agreed with me that it would be better to do it once I'm done, so it doesn't look like I'm going against my head coach.
Sure.
In season. And I risk being punished and playing less than what I have been. So
you're from Michigan. You've mm-hmm. been in Northern Kentucky for 4 years now. You're looking to grad transfer. What do you think is next for you short term?
I would love to stay in this area. That is like my number one, but if I have to go to another state in order to go to grad school or even play basketball, it doesn't matter to me as long as I get in somewhere, because I don't want to go back to Michigan. I love this place, but I definitely would not feel comfortable going to graduate school at NKU. I feel like I need to start somewhere new. And with new people, a new environment, new community, whatsoever. So
if NKU reaches out to you or Coach Whitaker reaches out to you, what do you expect to come of that?
I really don't know because I haven't spoken to her since probably before our last game. So that was in March, and that was the beginning of March, actually.
Yeah, March 5th.
March 5th. Yeah, I haven't, no communication with her or anything. I really don't know.
Do you want communication? Do you want to talk with her?
No. I would love to not communicate with her ever again.
What about NKU, Title IX office, athletic? I mean, you obviously did this. You've mentioned for a greater good. You want a better outcome for the girls on your team, and then in the athletic director or the athletic department as a whole. And now you're saying that, you know, this could spur some type of change to happen, not just at NKU, but everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
What conversation would you have with the athletic director at NKU?
I would just tell him that a better environment needs to be promoted with the women's programs. I feel like they weren't given enough attention than what they should have gotten. And because the men's team has been so successful, I feel like we've been kind of pushed aside because we haven't been that successful. And then again, people are going to bring up, well, women's sports aren't as viewed as men's sports. And I totally agree. That's just how life is. But, I mean, in the aspects of things, when it comes to this type of thing that's happening with the verbal and emotional abuse, I feel like that needs to be very important now because it's happening all over the country and something needs to be done about it.
So the article is entitled "Behind Closed Doors, Abuse in Northern Kentucky University Women's Basketball Program." Again, that details Taryn Taher's conversations and alleged abuse that she and other athletes have been exposed to under Coach Cameron Whitaker. You can find that online, or a link to it is on forthomasmatters.com. Taryn, is there any last parting words that you'd like listeners to hear?
I just want it to be focused on in the importance of the environment for my teammates still on the team. I want it to be a better and more positive environment, and I just want them to be safe. And I want them to love the game again and not have that taken away from them.
Taryn Taher, thanks very much.
Thank you.
You can always find our archives on For Thomas Matters. There is a tab at the top, For Thomas Matters Radio, or on iTunes, just search For Thomas Matters, or directly on our Podbean account, forthomasmatters.podbean.com. For Taryn Taher, this is Mark Collier with For Thomas Matters and For Thomas Matters Radio.